Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. Jill Hubbard and your phone calls.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Getting settled in here for our program today. We're glad you're with us. Joining me today is one of just the most popular authors in America today, Dr. Henry Cloud, and speakers. Henry, new book, Necessary Endings. Dr. Jill Hubbard is considered by some, me, as the wisest woman on the air today.
And the most beautiful person in the studio.
Yes, that is true. Thanks. And her book is The Secrets That Women Keep. And I don't have a book right now. But anyway.
name one or two of the secrets that women keep.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Well, women have secrets about their Christian marriages that they feel a lot of shame about.
Because it's women. It's not what you expect a
There's
Christian marriage to
be. There's a lot of lonely Christian women out there that feel like they can't say anything because they're married to this great Christian guy. So why are they so lonely?
Uh-huh.
So there's lots of women with sexual secrets where they feel like, you know, the guys have a lot of the sexual secrets, but some women have sexual secrets too.
Mm-hmm. And what about the issue? I've always thought this was a big deal. Comparison. That women do their husband to somebody else.
Of their husband to somebody else?
Yeah. Oh, or anything.
Well, just that disappointment that a lot of women run into. Life doesn't match that ideal picture, and they're disappointed. And look, so-and-so has life.
It's interesting. If you look at all of the secular research that's been done on happiness, one of the categories that bubbles to the top of the differences in happy people versus unhappy people is that happy people basically do not compare themselves to other people in any dimension. Yeah. In fact, and unhappy people do. And in fact, when they go and interview the happy people and they ask them about how they compare themselves, what the researchers report is the happy people look at it like they don't know what they're talking about. Like it's just not in their DNA to compare themselves. And it reminds me of Galatians 6, you know, where it says not comparing yourselves to one another, but look at your own life, your own work, and be proud of it.
I mean, how many times do you hear an athlete say, I'm just going to run my race. I'm not going to worry about anybody else. And then they win, and they just ran their race. And that's what this is. Run your race. Take your course. Don't compare it to somebody else.
And the whole Bible is written that way. Yeah. The parable of the talents, for example. One got 10, one got 5, one got 2, or whatever.
You know, it wasn't equal.
It was not equal, and they're not graded according to the other one. The one that's 5 is graded according to what 5 should have become.
Right.
And that's true of all of us. What do our gifts and opportunities and lives, what are the, you know, sort
so
of
so are we using the things that God has given us?
Right. And the wages paid to the vineyard workers. One guy starts at the beginning of the day, one guy about an hour of sunlight left, and they all get the same. Because they're comparing, they're miserable.
Comparing.
All right.
If we compared ourselves to Steve, how miserable will we be? I mean, I couldn't get out of bed.
I know, you're so right.
I think it's part of your joy right now. Anyway, we'll take a break and come back for more of New Life Live. Our website is newlife.com. You can find out about all of the things that we do there. And or call us for some help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you're interested in a New Life weekend, we have several different things coming up. We've got Finding Freedom coming up. We've got the Marriage Intimacy Intensive Every Man's Battle. All of these things are available to you. Now, We've got some callers on the line who are going to join us right after this, so please hold on. The number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and the website, newlife.com. We really do want to help you. Let us do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
God pulled me out of the gutter of my life that I was living in.
I have done a lot of work over the last 40 years. This is the first time I've ever felt love.
I've had such a wonderful weekend here. I'm 2,000 miles from my house, and for the first time in a long time, I've felt at home.
And the Lord has set me free from my mother's story about me not being good enough.
The New Life Finding Freedom Workshop is coming to Orange County May 3rd to the 5th.
We're going
to
talk about forgiveness and codependency. We're going to understand that family of origin, the unhealthy reactions to it. We're going to talk about the cycle of shame and surrender and developing the plan that moves us forward. There'll be 8 teaching sessions and 6 small group sessions.
To register or to learn more about the Finding Freedom Workshop, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I am living a new life, and I believe that I have the resources and tools to continue that.
Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Let's talk to somebody right now, such as Desiree from Ventura, California. Hi, Desiree. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thank you. How could we help you today?
I love your show. My question is, that I had a long-term on-off love-hate relationship with a gentleman.
Yes.
That I was engaged to at one time. And we've been apart for a year. I asked him a year ago if he wanted to see counseling about the situation, and he didn't want to at the time. And I've heard on prior radio stations where somebody called in and they said they had had an on-off relationship, and you said to give it a year because sometimes those love-hate or on-off situations where they are apart and then they get together and then they get married and then it all crumbles.
Can I interrupt and ask a question here? When you say a long-term, how many years were you dating and then friends or serious or not serious?
It started out dating, then we were just friends.
Like for how long?
Right. And then,
no, how long?
Then he was my roommate for a while.
How
like,
long?
Stuff like that.
How long?
So, since the end of 2003, and that's what it was.
Okay, 2003 until now, you guys have been off and on.
A year ago.
Okay. And you dated how long in those years?
Well, what happened was, hold on a second, shut the door and give mommy some privacy. Thank you.
multitasking mommy.
Get my son from school, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's okay.
Wait a minute, how old is your son?
10.
10. So 2003 to 2011 is 8 years, possibly 9. So how long were you divorced before this other guy came into the picture?
I was only married for a month.
For a month?
To Matthew's dad, but maybe I have the years wrong because my son was 3.5 years old.
3.5 when you met this other
started
guy.
Dating.
Okay.
He just turned 10 in September.
All right.
So was it 2004?
Okay. So what is the question?
The question is, a year ago when we broke up, he didn't want to go to counseling and work through the difficulties that we had.
What were the difficulties in a sentence? Can you just say what the difficulties were?
Well, it started out that we had a relationship. And then both of us backslid in like 2004, like right away after we met each other. Not right away, but I mean the first part of the relationship, we got to know each other, and then we started backsliding. We broke up and we were friends. During the point that we were friends, it seemed like he took up, I let him take up like 99% of my free time. So he was the only gentleman in the picture. But when we would go out together, he would, like, I felt like he was flirting with other women and stuff like that. And okay. His thing was, well, we were only friends and stuff like that.
Okay.
So by the time...
Go ahead.
By the time he actually asked me to get engaged with him, I was just tired of being around him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I've had it. I don't want to be treated like this anymore. And then he came back and asked me to marry him. But I didn't 100% trust him.
Yeah.
Okay. Then anymore.
Yeah.
So emotionally, you're saying it was hard for you to separate during the on-off periods. Like during the off periods, he was off, but you really weren't. You were still emotionally tied in.
Exactly.
Well, and his friends.
And he was still around me like okay.
Yeah,
and
so there's no room for somebody else.
For you. As friends, were you involved physically?
Not as friends.
Just during the official dating time.
And then we both repented of that. Well, we were in the sense of that we would sometimes hold hands and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was like almost like playing a game with me,
right.
Like,
right. So what is the question?
So my question is, we've been separated for like a year, and I wondered if I've asked some other people, and they said, just let it go. Just let it go. If he was emotionally ready to work through the problems that you had in the past,
okay.
He'd look you up.
Mm-hmm. So what is the question?
You got a question for us then?
Yeah, that's my question. My
okay.
question is, should I look him up? It's been a year. Should I look him up and
why?
See?
Well, just curious. I have a few questions. Why?
Because I still care about him.
Well, do you look up everybody you care about? I mean, you care how?
I would still like to see if we could like work a life out together.
Well, okay,
or do
hang
I
on, hang on,
with
hang
my
on,
life
hang on.
A necessary can, ending, or
can you hear me?
Yes.
Why would you like to see if you can work out a life together with him? Why? Why?
What about him is?
Yeah.
Is
what
wonderful.
Is it that you can't live without? What is it that you want to join your life to in this man?
Well, I enjoyed, like, how we prayed together and certain things that we did together.
Now, how did that work after you had been out and he was looking at other women and
and you said you couldn't stand to be around him.
Yeah. How was the prayer then?
Say that again?
Well, I'm making a point that it seems like to me if you were friends and he was going out with you and he was looking at other women and... that it would be very difficult to have a meaningful prayer time with him after that.
Right. Yeah, he corrected that behavior about a couple of years ago. That part of it he corrected. But
okay,
so
I'm sorry, Desiree?
Yes.
Okay, so you've not talked to him for a year? You've really been separate from him for a year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, almost a year, like probably a month and a half.
And you don't text him, call him, email
no,
him?
No, no. I don't even know his phone number. We live in a small town,
okay.
And
okay.
I try to avoid him, actually.
Okay, but it's been a year, and it sounds like maybe there isn't somebody else that's special, and you did... give a lot of yourself to him and a lot of time.
A lot of years.
Yeah, and a
right.
lot of years,
I did.
Right?
I purposely not allowed anybody else in my life to give myself
okay.
some time to heal and work on myself.
Well, what if you okay. What if in giving yourself some time to heal, you included in the recipe of time to heal, healing your people picker,
mm-hmm.
and as part
right,
of giving
exactly.
yourself time to heal, you get part of that time to heal is that you go out with a lot of different kinds of people and find out, gosh, maybe there are men that can pray with you and not prey upon other women at the same time.
Right, and that was the thing, is that I'm at the point after a year, like, there's some interesting, there's some godly men that have, like, asked,
go with
them. I've only gone in groups.
Well,
I've never gone alone with anybody anywhere.
Maybe it's time to move on.
Yeah,
because there's a degree of safety, but if you've gone through the pain of being separate for a year, and now you're ready to date, don't just run back to him because he's comfortable and you already know him.
Now imagine this. You put all your money in a bank, and the bank goes under, and you don't get your money back except for that part that was FDIC insured or whatever that thing is. Then the question is, a year later, should I go back and put more money in that bank? Well, anybody doing that, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous. What? Why would you do that unless you knew there was new management, new ownership, that had a record and all that?
Right.
But this guy isn't calling her. He's not seeking her out.
Well, that's another good point, in that if she were saying, okay, here's why I don't want to be with you, Bubba, because you do this and you do this and you do this and you do this, and those are real legitimate reasons. Then Bubba goes away for a year. Bubba gets struck
Bubba
by lightning.
Yeah.
He goes, oh my gosh, I have this and this issues in my life.
Right.
He goes into recovery. He gets spiritual direction, whatever it is. As part of his making amends, he would either go, wait a minute, this is what she wanted. Now I'm an honest, real guy. I'm going to call her up and say, I'm him. I've become the one you were looking for.
Or at a minimum, he would call and say, I'm so sorry. I was looking at all those other women and stuff when we were together.
Even as your friend.
Yeah, and disrespecting you. But none of that has happened. And so that's why we're saying it is time to move on and enjoy your life.
Well, at the very least, to be with some other guys so you have something, some kind of basis, a foundation for making this major decision. Not just what you've done for the last
year. You ought to be with the one that stands out in a crowd.
Yeah.
And maybe he will.
A crowd of one is not a crowd.
After
so it's easy
time.
For him to stand out in your head right now.
Right.
Because he's the only one in there.
Yeah. And you know what? It is okay for a woman to ask a man out. That's not what we're talking about, is saying, hey, you want to go get some coffee or something. But when it's the woman pursuing the man and
where he's had 8 years.
I'm telling you, you're going to be pursuing the rest of your life. You're going to be trying to drag him here and push him there, and it's just not the way to go.
Also, one other thing.
Okay.
I think that there's a very common dynamic that happens, and that is that she is trying to figure out whether to go back with him or not based on one thing and one thing only, her attachment to him.
Yeah.
Your attachment to people is the worst possible gauge.
Isn't that the truth?
That you can ever use. What you've got to use is your values and your standards and what you want in a relationship. And then you say to the person, I'm looking for someone who can connect and emotionally responsible and respects me and has a life and has done their tax returns and, you know, all that good stuff, relationship with God, and on and on. Now, I'd like for you to be that person, but if you're not, that's the person I'm looking for.
Right.
And then he has to self-select and decide whether he wants to step up. You can't use whether or not you're attached to him.
Yeah.
That doesn't... No, because then what you do is, because you're attached to him, you throw the standards out the window, and you try to make it fit, and it hadn't fit.
No. She's a bright lady. I'm praying she moves on. I'll send you Henry's book, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping. Jay from Hyattsville, Maryland, WAVA.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Great. What's going on, Jay?
Well, my question basically is, I've been married for 10 years. Me and my wife separated last month. Unfortunately, we had 2 kids. She decided to leave.
Why did she leave?
Well, basically she told me and the family that she needs time for herself. And the thing is, she was diagnosed with breast cancer in July, and I stuck with her through the treatments and everything. And it seems as throughout the whole process, we was getting further apart. We was arguing a lot more. And it was just we was getting very distant. But the thing is now, she basically told me throughout the 10 years, she told me and the family that for the 10 years she's been very unhappy, and she just needs some time. Now, I'm the type of male that we've been to many counseling, church counseling, any counseling you could have, we've been through. And we're Christian, went to church every day, and I mean, she makes the situation seem more worse than it actually is.
All right, so what's the question here?
The question is, during this time of healing, I'm trying to figure out, because we both have a mortgage together, I can't do it by myself. There's no communication. I mean, we're having a struggle with kids. She's not letting me see the kids like I should. I've been a father for the whole 10 years.
Mm.
I'm wondering how long can I continue to try to stay in a marriage where the other person is, I feel, being selfish and not trying to work together.
We can help you with this. We can help you, and we're going to do that right after this. Because there's separation, and then there's separation. We want to talk about separation. Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn, we'll be back right after this.
My wife had found me out through my past and my sexual addiction since I was a small child. It really gave me the opportunity to start digging into my past, start digging into my childhood, figure out what was causing me to feel the way I was feeling. Every Man's Battle will really give you that opportunity, because all the guys there in that room are there for the exact same reason you're there. I don't want to be the reason that my kids are going to counseling. I don't want to be the reason that they begin to struggle with the same issues that I'm struggling with, and I've got to put an end to this. Yes, you can be different. God does love you. You can be forgiven for this, and there's a way out of this. But you have to acknowledge that you have to change, and that there's a problem.
If you're struggling, call us. There are people on the other end of the line who want to hear from you, who want to help you. We don't want you to hand down something to another generation that just looks like pain and destruction. You can hand down redemption, but you got to take that first step. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Jay, it seems like to me that you guys are separated, but separation without an agenda and a plan often leads to more separation versus...
Exactly.
Okay, so is she willing to put together with you some kind of plan that would help you guys with healing the past, accepting the reality of today, and moving toward the future?
Basically, the only plan was we both get our individual counseling, and then later on down the road, eventually we will go back to our church and go through couples counseling. But I mean, at this point, it's no communication.
Yeah.
Anytime we have communication, it's a big argument. I mean,
right. Which is the problem? Most times, if not Jill, I'd like to hear your opinion on this, but I would almost say all times, if people are getting individual counseling in a problematic marriage, generally, what happens is they're getting individual counseling and they're trying to come out of the pain of that marriage. They're talking about the other one and they're blaming the other one and all of that kind of stuff. And people tend to grow more comfortable and feeling better apart because they're away from the pain and the conflict of having to work on it together. So when you're getting individual counseling, what I like to see is that there is a marriage counselor in the picture who's trying to be a bridge and hold all of that together. And like Steve said, this separation needs a structure. It needs a plan. Separation in the service of getting back together and reconciling, as it's servicing that goal, would have specific kind of milestones, specific goals, specific activities. Yeah.
Yeah. So to just have it open-ended and say eventually.
Yeah, when I feel like it, you know.
Yeah. And, Henry, I agree. I think there has to be a marriage, you know, therapist in there coming up with the plan.
And if she's not willing to take a phone call.
Exactly.
That's not really working together.
No. Yeah, I would suggest some glue in here. And if she won't do that, then I think you got to use whatever leverage you have. Because number one, and we're just assuming, you know, everything you're saying is sort of like it is. And she doesn't have any real grounds for this or reason other than she, quote, needs her space.
Right.
But the thing about the kids really disturbs me. And and if she won't, quote, let you see the kids, then your kid, you've got to be an advocate for your kids because your kids also need their dad. And that may be, it goes to the point where if the church can't help, you know, that's where a family attorney, a Christian family attorney can help you because separated people can have agreements and who spends time.
Yeah, on what grounds can you not see the kids?
That's got to be usually court ordered.
And it kind of sounds like, you know, she went through cancer and you guys have had a lot of problems and she's saying life's too short and it sounds like she's looking for a way out.
Yeah, you know, you reach a point where you think, okay, God, answer my prayers and stuff, but everything is pointing to there is no connection, there's no coming back here, no plan.
Right, and the thing that I would kind of be asking somewhere, you know, she goes through cancer, she needs time by herself, she needs time alone, and sometimes what happens is somebody goes through an illness and sometimes it makes them feel very scared, obviously it makes them feel really dependent and that's not comfortable, so they'll go hyper independent, not need anybody. Or, you know, it could be something like that somebody needs to understand and help her to get healed of for her sake, as well as the marriage.
Right, and I wonder what family and friends are saying around you. Are they supporting her? Are they supporting you? You know,
do you
have people on each side?
Okay, I hope something we've said is helpful. I'm sorry you're in a in a dilemma here, and I don't know how to get you out of that dilemma when she won't even take a phone call, and I just pray that you'll get some counseling for yourself and get some direction and comfort throughout this. The kids, you know, people say all the time, should you stay together for the kids? I say, absolutely.
Whatever you need to
pick an excuse, stay together, but get some help in staying together. I want to talk to Victoria from Kennett Square, Pennsylvania. WFIL is the station. Hello there.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Victoria.
I'm a 22-year-old woman who's re-entering the dating world, and I've read your books, How to Get a Date Worth Keeping and Avoiding Mr. Wrong, and rereading those. And from listening to you guys, my mom has encouraged me to get to know 20 different men the way you got to know 20 different women, Mr. Arburn. And basically my question is, what advice, wisdom, tips, how did you protect yourself? What can you give somebody who's going to embark on that journey?
Great, great question. Can I ask you a question first?
Sure.
What does re-entering the dating world mean at 22?
Like, basically,
where did you go? Where did you go that you have to re-enter?
I kind of stayed single for a while because I as you guys call it, I don't have a good people picker. And I've had very bad relationships, and I've taken a break for a while.
What kind of relationships did you pick, and how long ago did you stop picking them?
It was probably not very long ago, and I've been more open with my parents and everything like that, and there are relationships where basically I knew the guy was not a good guy for me, but because I was so attached and he felt comfortable, I stayed in a relationship.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a quick question. Did you go to college? Are you out of college? Are you in college? What's with that?
I am out of college and working full-time in a doctor's office right now.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, what kind of doctor?
Can I ask her? Go ahead.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Let me ask you a question before the break.
Okay.
This attachment hunger that lives inside of you, that which caused you to do poor people picking, I want you to tell us what you've done and what you're doing to fill your tummy up so that the next guy that comes along won't be the next guy that comes along.
All right. We'll take a break and come right back for more.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. Jill Hubbard, talking to Victoria, and wants to know where to get those 20 dates. And Henry, you were...
Well, she wanted to know how to protect herself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not going to protect yourself if you got, you know, this attachment hunger inside. It's sort of like, you know, if somebody... should not go grocery shopping when they're hungry, right?
So, yeah.
So what have you done about this neediness inside?
For the past year, I've kind of isolated myself and not been in good community. I've went to a new church that has a good, strong singles community.
Yeah.
I'm currently getting to know more Christian women that I haven't, and I've been open and honest with my parents, which I haven't in the past. And asking them for their advice and help, because they know me better than I know myself.
Okay, well, let me, with all, I want you to hear this, and I'm going to be the big brother here, okay?
Okay.
That's not enough.
Okay.
Because I'm glad you're plugged into a church, but what happens when we go to church? You know, we see people and hear the sermon, stand out on the patio and have a little, mm-hmm. you know, coffee and donuts, right? There's not a lot of weeping with those who weep that happen out in the foyer. There's not a lot of uncovering what's in the darkness and bringing it into the light and having somebody hold that pain and connect with that pain and encourage you and build new skills. And even with your parents, and especially with your parents, probably at your age, the developmental path would be to establish, you know, the sourcing of your life with community and peers. So I would want you in a deep sense of community. You know, I know you're getting to know some other women. You want that circle of friends. It's very important. But I would also want you in kind of a deep healing group, you know, a support group where you're going through.
I am in Celebrate Recovery.
There you go. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay.
For codependency.
Right. There you go. Now your menu's getting, you know, pretty good. So you get in that, you get in another group, maybe you have a therapist, and then in that banded together, there's your protection. If you go back to the book, remember there's a chapter in there called Get Your Team Together and another chapter called Tie Me to a Tree. Remember those two chapters? You want your team together so you can go out on a date and come back to your group and say, okay, I went out with this guy. They say, what was he like? And you kind of give the review, and then they say, and then he wanted to do this. What'd you tell him? Well, you know, I felt tempted. Oops, you know. And so you process this and you get stronger. So don't go out there till you're got your team together.
Yeah,
and
you
that's
don't want
where
to
your
date
safety
in isolation.
Knows. Right.
Yeah. Now,
okay.
To answer the question, as most people know, when I was single, Henry and John, I say most people, if you listen a lot, they challenged me to date 20 people before I would settle on one person.
And you got your team together.
I got my team together, had a lot of support, a lot of accountability. And I ended up marrying number three. But I'm really glad that I dated all these people.
But you went all the way to 20.
I went to 20 because I wanted to be sure that I didn't say, wow, here I was single, had all this opportunity. All I did was date three people, and then I'm done. So it was really a very, very good thing. So I think your mom is really helping you a lot. I think you ought to get on some kind of service, you know, whatever it is, a dating service, and I think you should do a good job of having a profile there, and you should see if there's somebody within a 50-mile radius that you might be interested in. I think you need to find out what is the hobby I love the most or would I like to do the most, and go do that hobby, because you'll meet people who are also learning, whether it's dancing or sculpting or painting or whatever. I think you ought to get the application for Groupon. And when Groupon buys tickets to the local theater at $100 ticket for $10, go and join that group. And you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Groupon.
Yeah,
okay.
Get involved in life.
Yeah. Volunteer. Take a college class and get back to college.
Okay.
And the support group thing with Celebrate Recovery. My whole point is this. You get the people around you, and then you go live your life. You're going to meet a lot of people.
Okay.
Especially
thank you so much.
Volunteering, and you see stuff in the community, the 5K runs and all that. You go do those. You get out there and do it, but you got your friend with you, and you're reporting back to your support group.
Yeah, and as soon as you meet someone, you don't drop all those activities.
Or the other people you're meeting.
Right, right. You incorporate, you know, as it moves along, you incorporate that person so that all the people who know you and are your team can meet the person and have a say-so.
I'm glad you called, Victoria.
Thank you so much for your advice, everyone.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right.
I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. That'll really be a great tool for you there in Celebrate Recovery. And anybody else, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. I'm talking to Martha right now. She listens on KKLA in Los Angeles. Hello, Martha. Welcome to New Life Live.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Great. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just don't know which direction to go. My sister has called me regarding my brother, and my brother drinks too much, but he's also hooked on pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to have some kind of an intervention, but I really think we have to have a plan.
Well, you do need a plan if you're going to do an intervention. An intervention without a plan isn't really an intervention. It's nagging.
Exactly. We just don't even know what
plan nagging.
Plus, if you guys were going to do that, how many alcoholics have you done interventions on?
Well, the problem is he's gone to a 12-step program, but then he always bails out because he says he knows that they all just playing games and nobody's really telling the truth.
And who does Who does he go move back in with when he gets out of that treatment? Where does he live?
He lives. My mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so your mom's going to have to be part of this intervention.
How old is the boy?
He's in his 50s.
Boy's in his 50s.
Lives with mom? Why does he live with mom?
Well, because, you know, he's gone through a divorce, And
a lot of divorced people have apartments.
Always ends up back.
Yeah, but why does he live with mom? Why does he have his own place?
Maybe mom needs an intervention.
Right. She's got to be part of this.
I don't know. She's kind of up there in years, and I think she would just go.
She's not too much up. She's not too much up in years to pay for his living, right?
Right.
So the point we're making here is whoever has leverage in his life is going to be part of the formula of whether the intervention works or not, right? Look at it this way. Let's say that you needed some money, and there's two banks, and you go to Bank A, and Bank A says, okay, we'll be glad to give you a loan, and here's what we want. We want you to put so much in collateral. We want you to make payments on a certain date. We want you to show us all your finances weekly. We want you to come in for a meeting and do all this stuff. And you go down to Bank B and say, I need some money. They go, sure, what do you want? Need more after that?
Right.
Come on back, I'll give you more. And as long as mom is Bank B, mm-hmm. or whoever else is going to enable him, that then you've kind of lost the power or some of the power of the intervention. Doesn't mean it can't happen and it can't work, but you need to really get everybody on board here who has power in his life.
And that requires, I think, a really delicate conversation with mom. It's not going to be easy to get mom to see that maybe she's housing him out of guilt or fear or whatever, and that it really at 50 it's time for him to be back out on his own. All right. Okay, so hold on, we'll put you in touch with somebody that can help you with that intervention. And, you know, intervention is for those situations that are impossible. People say, it's impossible. I can't get... Well, you do the intervention, because the intervention also involves what happens when they're ready to bail out of treatment. That's all part of the plan.
It's all part of it. And you know what's interesting is intervention, what, you know, it's a technical term, mm-hmm. probably, mm-hmm. what, in the 60s when they started studying alcoholic systems. Mm-hmm. And so did the term codependent enabler. Go back to the first interventionist and the first, you know, rehab artist, which would have been Moses. In Leviticus, for example, he says that we are to rebuke our neighbor frankly. Do not show partiality, whether somebody's needy or powerful, but set limits and tell them the truth. It says, because if you don't, you share the guilt of his sin. So whoever's not doing the intervention and setting limits, that's the enabler, mm-hmm. that's part of the problem. Mm-hmm. And then go all the way over to Matthew 18. You talk about, you know, the path for an intervention. You talk to him one-on-one. If that doesn't work, what do? You turn up you get two or three more to, and the technical word there in the Bible is to bind whatever this is. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound. And that's not talking about demons. And
right.
It's talking about people coming up with a boundary and saying, I'm going to bind this illness, mm-hmm. as a group. And then it says, if they don't come around then, you separate from them. Right. And that's what every intervention ends up doing. Yeah. You can come to treatment or you can go on your own path.
That's right. No in between. But boy, I've seen those interventions cave when somebody just can't stand to let it happen. We'll be back after this.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand.
God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right. Let's talk with T from Los Angeles. KKLA is the station. Hi, T. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, everybody. I listen to your show every day. I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. I've been so blessed by listening to you guys.
Well, thank you for that.
How could we help you?
I was calling because I wanted to know if I made the right decision by taking my husband back.
Okay.
We've been together for 11 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were separated for a little over a year.
Okay.
Why
did you separate?
He was very abusive in any fashion that you can think of.
Okay. he was physically abusive, do you?
Physically, emotionally, verbally, sexually, just...
All right.
Any of those...
And what did he do to earn your trust to where you would get back together with him?
We went to some counseling while we were separated.
Mm-hmm.
But the counselor refused to see us again because his temper was so explosive, you know.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So he did some counseling with my dad.
So I'm kind of getting the feeling he didn't really do anything before you guys moved back in together. He didn't change much, or
he did. He changed a lot.
Okay, good.
Actually,
okay.
He changed a lot.
Right.
Okay, so he changed a lot, and you're asking us. You don't know whether or not you did the right thing. Why are you questioning it? Help us understand.
Because it still seems like. Almost that he hasn't had to accept responsibility, you know. When we talk about our separation or something like that, or if it ever comes up, he says things as though I did something to him, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I put him out when
right.
he actually left. Like I tried to divorce him, but he actually served me divorce papers. You know what I mean?
Wow, a lot of projection.
I'm sorry?
A lot of projecting onto you things that you're saying he did.
Right.
Blaming you.
And so, right. And so he has changed, you know, a lot. He, as far as being controlling and demanding and all of the things that were going on, he's changed a lot in those areas.
Okay.
And I'm not saying that he hasn't, but we're getting ready to make a big move.
Yeah.
What's the question for us?
My question is, did I do the right... I don't know if I did the right thing. I'm not sure.
Okay, because you're having doubts now that you've done it? You've already done it, right?
Right. I've already done it.
So why are you doubting?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because the conversations we have been recently, you know, about our separation.
Okay.
Where he's been blaming me for our separation.
Let me ask you a question. Would being able to communicate about the separation in a way that satisfies you, where he takes ownership and all of that, would that be a requirement for you two living together?
You mean as far as getting along, or
no? In other words, if you said
together.
No, if you said for you know, he can only live with me if he communicates.
No,
Well, then,
no, it wouldn't.
Then, okay, so then that you answered your question, right? Now, what remains to be seen, though, is what steps can you guys take to greater intimacy? And greater intimacy requires each person to be in a process of taking ownership and, you know, understanding the other person and developing empathy and things like that. And that's usually the kind of things that happens in good counseling and also maybe in a good couples group where couples are learning to do that and supporting each other. So you've kind of answered the question about the separation. Maybe it happened a little too quickly and you couldn't use the leverage that you would have had to kind of make him do some of those things. But that's where you are now, and it sounds like that's what you need.
Here's, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, well, it sounds like you had a plan for the separation, which is good, but you haven't had a plan for the moving back in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all stop when he moves back
right.
in.
And my advice is, T, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Make it the right decision. Rather than questioning whether or not it's the right mm-hmm. decision, you go make it the right decision. And you try this, and if that doesn't work, you try that. You get some help for yourself and move this thing along. But work with him where he is and be sure you applaud him for where he's made the progress. But transform this thing.
And I think that you need to consider what you still need from him, because I think that's stirring up some of your doubts.
Yep. You're listening to New Life Live. We are a listener-supported ministry, and
Club New Life is so very important to us in maintaining the daily expense that we have from media and other things. $30 a month. I mean, it goes a long way. And we'll send you four amazing videos by Mylon and Kay. One of them alone, it's just our way of saying thank you, but this one video, 12 questions that will change any relationship. And you know, most relationships, they need a change. And so there are other videos on how we relate to our adult children, how anger plays a part in whatever we're doing, relating to somebody else, and then just how do you talk with your kids about sex? They're so good, and they're our way of saying thank you for joining Club New Life. Would you please consider? Don't just consider. Pick up the phone and call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, we're not just interested in you supporting us. We have counselors all over this country that would help you if you'd call us. And people are always saying, do you think I need counseling? That's not the question. The question is, would I benefit from it? I go every week because I know I benefit from it. And I just don't want to ever stop. I don't think my wife would let me. So where it's just something that is a benefit to our relationship. So you call us. Maybe it's a workshop you need. Maybe it's a counselor. Maybe it's a book. You know, in the Arterburn series, all of those books are on the other person in the relationship that might have a problem that you need to understand. We've got a resource for you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. We've got some powerful intensives coming up. I'm going to be doing Finding Freedom, the New Life Weekend, Finding Freedom. I would love for you to be there because I think you'll find some freedom. I really believe it. May 3rd. In Southern California. Intimacy in Marriage, June the 28th. Every Man's Battle, April the 5th.
And I pray that you will call right now if somebody in your life, including yourself, is struggling with sexual integrity. You try to figure it out, you try hard to do better, and you find yourself right back in the same place because it's so powerful. You need help. You need other guys to come alongside and help you with this, and that's what happens at the Every Man's Battle Workshop. Guys that are embarrassed and humiliated and wish they weren't there, don't think they deserve to be there, by the time it's over with, they're ready to form some kind of national camping club and spend their life together out in the wilderness. It is amazing what happens in the bonding and connection there. Well, my thanks to Dr. Henry Cloud. Henry Cloud's latest book, Necessary Endings. And if you're struggling with nipping something right in the bud that needs to stop. You know you're dragging it on and it needs to
or
go
maybe
away.
Way past the bud.
Way past the bud. That's right. At the roots. At the roots. Necessary endings at newlife.com. And Dr. Jill Hubbard is the author of The Secrets Women Keep. You can find all of that there. Until next time, have a great day. Have a great life. Have a new life. See you then.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.